Let's read together Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 42. Now, in the second half of the chapter, we have the well-known parable of the Good Samaritan and also the account of Mary and Martha. Let's begin by reading verses 25 through 37. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Let's begin our study of this portion of Luke chapter 10 with some background notes. The well-known parable of the Good Samaritan is only given in the Gospel of Luke, and it may have been a true story. That is, it could have really happened, even though the Lord presented it as a parable. The road from Jerusalem to Jericho is about 17 miles in distance and drops in elevation about 3,000 feet as you travel from Jerusalem down through the Judean wilderness to Jericho, which is below sea level. Now, it was not unusual for a traveler to be robbed along this lonely road. The hills on both sides of the old Roman road in many places were very conducive to robbery, as thieves could easily hide out and pounce on unprotected travelers. In this case, the man, most likely a Jew, was robbed even of his clothes, brutally beaten, mortally wounded, and then left to die. First a priest, and then a Levite, saw the dying man, but did nothing. They could not be bothered. After all, they were involved in the Lord's work, and they both passed by on the other side of the road. But of all people, a Samaritan, who is considered an outcast by the Jewish people, came to the dying man and treated him and took him to an inn and paid for his lodging and care and promised to return. By the way, you can still visit the site of that inn today. Near the old Roman road from Jerusalem to Jericho, there is an old Turkish inn called the Inn of the Good Samaritan. Most likely, it is on the same site as the first century inn, because there was well water available there. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for the second half of Luke chapter 10. Doctrinal point number 1. The story of the Good Samaritan has an obvious meaning. The story of the Good Samaritan has an obvious meaning. We see from verse 25 that the parable of the Good Samaritan was given to a certain lawyer or scribe who was testing the Lord. The lawyers in Israel, of course, knew the Old Testament scriptures quite well. After all, that was the law. This lawyer was interested to find out what Jesus, as a teacher, believed was required for salvation. When the Lord told the lawyer, who had correctly summed up the law, to keep the law and live, the Lord was not teaching salvation by works, because no one can keep the whole law of God, because no one is perfect. The lawyer tried to justify himself by asking, "Who is my neighbor?" Apparently, he must have thought he was successfully keeping the law and that he loved the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his strength, and his neighbor as himself. Well, he certainly had a high view of himself, didn't he? And now he wanted to justify himself by a narrow definition of neighbor, such as only the person who lives next door to you, or only your friend, or only your colleague at work. But the Lord totally shot down that narrow concept of neighbor. And in doing so, he rebuked the pride of the lawyer, and ours as well, if we think we're so neighborly. We see that the Lord's definition of neighbor includes anyone who comes across your path in life who is in need, not just your friend or colleague at work or person living next door to you. And if you are really going to be a good neighbor to that person in need and love your neighbor as yourself, you're going to be willing to sacrifice time and money, and you're going to be willing to change your plans, and you're going to be willing to take on a long-term commitment. The story of the Good Samaritan should convict us, as it was intended to convict the lawyer. The story of the Good Samaritan has an obvious meaning. Doctrinal point number two. The story of the Good Samaritan has a deeper meaning. The story of the Good Samaritan has a deeper meaning. We said that the story of the Good Samaritan may have been a true story, but the Lord certainly gave it as a parable. As a parable, it has a deeper meaning, as all parables do. The Lord himself is represented by the Good Samaritan. We are like the man going from Jerusalem to Jericho who fell among thieves and was left dying by the side of the road. Now, when I say we, I mean us as individuals or us as the human race. We have gone downhill morally and spiritually. We've been robbed by Satan and are dying because of sin. In the account, the priest and the Levite did not help the dying man, but passed by on the other side of the road. Now, in the story as a parable, who or what do the priest and the Levite represent? They represent the Old Testament law, which cannot save a person. God gave the law to show what sin is and also to show how God's moral standards are so high that no one can keep the law. I'm reading from Galatians chapter 3, beginning with verse 19. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Galatians chapter 3, verses 19 through 24. So the law was given to show God's standards and make clear what sin is in God's eyes, and furthermore, the law was given as a schoolmaster or tutor to drive us to Christ for salvation. The law forces us to realize that we cannot measure up to God's moral standards of perfection and that our only hope is Christ. The law is like a mirror. It can show us our dirty faces, but it cannot wash our dirty faces. The law has no power to save us. It can only condemn us. And so in the parable, the priest and the Levite, representing the law, pass by on the other side of the road. There is no help for a dying sinner from the law. By way of application for today, many people are hoping the priest or the Levite can save them. That is, they think religion and doing good works and trying to keep God's law can save them. But the Bible clearly teaches that religion and good works cannot save us. It is only by God's grace that we are saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. And so in the parable, the priest and the Levite pass by on the other side of the road because religion and the law cannot save us from our sins and cannot save us from the penalty of our sins. Without the help of the Good Samaritan, we are lost and we will die in our sins. But the Lord, as the Good Samaritan, in his mercy, has come to us with compassion, and he has healed us, and he has provided the church to care for us, and he has promised to return for us. It's hard to miss the obvious point that the story of the Good Samaritan is a parable of the grace and goodness of God that has been extended to fallen mankind in general and to us as individuals in particular. The story of the Good Samaritan has a deeper meaning. Practical application from this last portion of Luke chapter 10. Don't let your service keep you from worship. Don't let your service keep you from worship. Our practical application comes from the last little section of Luke chapter 10, the well-known account of Mary and Martha. Let's read verses 38 through 40. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Did you ever feel sorry for Martha after reading this account? I mean, here is Martha doing all the work, and Mary is just sitting around. And Martha is rebuked, and Mary is praised. What's going on here, anyway? The proper view of this account is to see it as a lesson in priorities. First of all, notice that Martha is serving the Lord, not her house. Her many preparations are because she and Mary, along with Lazarus, their brother, are entertaining a royal guest, the Lord himself, in their home in Bethany. Martha wanted everything to be just right, and so would we, if the Lord were to visit our house, right? What the Lord was saying to Martha in verses 41 and 42 was essentially, "Martha, all of this elaborate preparation for the meal is not necessary. Just a sandwich and a glass of water would be fine. I'd rather have you here with Mary listening to some important teaching from the Word. Don't worry about all the preparation. We can use paper plates and the microwave." So it really is a lesson in priorities, isn't it? We too can get so caught up in our service for the Lord, as Martha was, that we lose sight of what's really important, and we may even lose out on our close communion with the Lord. Illustration. You know, I was talking with a Christian youth leader some time ago, and he told me that he was so busy in the ministry that he wasn't even reading his Bible much anymore. Well, something was wrong with his priorities, even though he was faithfully serving the Lord. It's a lesson that all dedicated Christians have to learn. Don't let your service keep you from worship.